He's failing, he's learning, he's doing his own thing, he watches videos and goes back, fixes it. And I know that no other center in the world can give him this kind of space to do the things that he wants. And I think Adi is not a child who would like to be forced to do things. He will just do it for the sake of doing it. And I don't want him to have an experience like that.
Aber die haben das Bescheid gesagt. Und dann hat es war so, das war so krass. Der Chef, der hat so andere Leute, nur man sieht sich halt, und dann verschwinden die Leute nacheinander. Aber guck mal, das eine bei den anderen, bei der ersten.
So, nice. Yeah, very welcome, Priyanka Modi. I'm very happy that you're here with me because I need to say I'm a huge fan of yours. I've been following your journey on LinkedIn a little bit, and you're an unschooling mom. You have an adorable little boy, and you're traveling at the moment all over India, and you're in the middle of a huge adventure, and you're sharing a lot of insights about that on LinkedIn. And I just love it. Very welcome to my show.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much.
Nice. Yeah, tell us a bit more about you. You are involved in educational projects and you're, like I said, an unschooling mom. Maybe you can tell us a bit about your background and how all of that happened.
Yeah, so I'll try to be as precise as I can be. But yeah, I started discovering about schooling and learning when Adi, my son Adi, he's 9 years old now, when he was beginning to join the school. And you know, I was in school long back, so I had no idea how schools would be. So, you know, I'm just someone who is very curious, and with Adi, I became more of a researcher. So I went exploring, and you know, I started looking for schools, and with the help of my neighbors and others, I found out some learning spaces for him, and I would just go and be as curious as possible. And it just happened that someone offered me a job, looking at my curiosity, and I started working. This was not my field. I'm an optometrist by my education, but I could hardly pursue it in practice because my son was there and I wanted to be involved completely. So one thing led to another. I started working in the school setup because I didn't have a teaching background. So I had the, you know, internal freedom to explore as, you know, much as I can, because I didn't come from a traditional mindset of teaching a particular thing. So I was always open to new ideas that the school would ask me to do or try something new. I was always open to such things. And that led me to understand more about learning. And I started understanding kids, why they love something, why they do not love something. I used to have a lot of conversation with kids. My classes used to be very noisy, or kids would run all over the place. And, you know, and slowly, you know, as Adi started growing up, I realized that he was a very curious learner, and somewhere he was feeling quite limited in the school. And we were in the same setup, but he was going his own way, I was going my own way. And we were meeting in the evenings, or we were seeing each other in the morning. It was a rush for both of us because we didn't have time. We were frustrated. But we really genuinely loved spending time with each other. And that became more, you know, obvious when the COVID hit, because we had no choice but to be with each other. And so I got to learn a lot about him. He was learning every time, you know. He was doing good in school as well. But with me, he was a different learner. He was involved in the kitchen. We were doing gardening together. We were doing a lot of experiments because the school had halted for quite a period of time when no online sessions were going on. So we started, we took to internet, and I saw that a lot of authors and people were, you know, sharing free stuff. You know, NASA was sharing a lot of things, Earth School or TED was sharing a lot of things, and we started grabbing all those things because everything was free, and we went, you know, getting as much as possible, learning drawing classes from someone from UK, doing some reading classes from someone from US. And at that time, I realized that the world is not so difficult place to be in. It's just that we have complicated ourselves so much that we feel that everything has to be done in a certain way. And I realized that why should we sit in that system and dream of having freedom only after Adi, does his K-12, and then he realizes, because he wants to learn more than what is available in school. And he was asking me a lot of questions. He asked me, Ma, we study the same topics, you know, for the entire year, those 4 or 5 chapters, it's boring. And I said, yeah, I can understand. But I didn't want to be that person of, you know, because I have done this, you have to do this. And I had more, basically, I used to research a lot every time. So I started hunting for things which could, help me to provide what he needed and keep him, challenged. So, and that was the time I came back to my mom's house. It's a small town in Jharkhand. And I got a lot of time to research, and I started connecting with people. So I went deep, you know, in the rabbit hole of understanding what's homeschooling, unschooling, world schooling, and everything. And I didn't know there was so much. And I was excited. And because I wanted to confirm my theory that a child can learn at home without pressure, without being marked, without being judged, without waking up 5 o'clock in the morning, and just getting them ready and putting them in a place. So I thought, yes, that was a daycare, basically, because both of us wanted to work. So the kid has to be at some place. But he learns fine. He's happy with me. There's no struggle in the morning. He's a happy learner. So I started my website where I wanted to talk about the idea of raising happy learners. It's possible. I wanted to scream and say that, hey, raising happy learners is possible. It's not big of a deal, you know. Kids can be with you. They are part of our lives. Yeah. And then, you know, just that I started realizing that there was so much to do at home, and we could connect with anybody we want. He could learn any skill he wants from the internet and spend as much time as he wants with me. And he is a sort of a self-learner. He likes to learn. He's quite, convinced the way he wants to learn. He wants to explore different things. He cannot attend lectures. He gets really bored in lectures. He feels better if he has his own routine. He likes to talk about it. He wants to, for example, today he's been into some cardboard projects since the morning. He's failing, he's learning, he's doing his own thing. He watches videos and goes back, fixes it. And I know that no other center in the world can give him this kind of space to do the things that he wants. And I think Adi is not a child who would like to be forced to do things. He will just do it for the sake of doing it. And I don't want him to have an experience like that. Yeah. So that's how all this started. And I think the more we do it, the more comfortable I get in doing what I'm doing. I don't think so. I could regret any day of what decision I have taken. Or, I've been just following Adi's, decision to do what he wants. And I'm all there to support him. I have already plunged in this. And if he wants something, I will reach to that person who does that and ask him to help him. Yeah.
Nice. I really like that, because I see similarities. Because at the beginning, I was like, not really sure if this is a good idea. I was just very sure that traditional school was a bad idea. But with this lack of schedule, lack of curriculum and all these things, I sometimes felt a bit insecure if this is the right thing to do. But I need to say in the end, yeah, I see myself growing into this every day a little bit more. And now I'm fully convinced, because not only my child, but I see so many other kids out there that are thriving on this lack of structure, of schedule, and lack of pressure. And I see just how they are blooming and thriving and learning, and how this is definitely doable. So I feel you. And tell me a bit more, because I'm from Germany, and unschooling is more than forbidden in Germany, and the society is not really into it as well. So if you tell someone, yeah, I'm into unschooling, my kid is not attending traditional school, most people are like, what? because they don't even know this is existing. They don't even know there's a world out there where kids explore the world freely. Mm-hmm. They just don't know. So yeah, we had to leave Germany to be able to fully unschool. Mm-hmm. And every time I'm talking to my family, it's always like, oh my God, the poor boy, does he even learn something? And these kind of things. So not only society, but also my family is a bit like, oh my God, is this experiment going well? I don't know. How is it in India? Because I've been to India quite some times, and I need to say what I've seen, I've been to a lot of universities because I've been studying and researching. What I saw was a lot of really dedicated learners out there. And yeah, how is it structured? How is society reacting? And how many unschoolers are over there?
No, it's very few, to be frank. There are very, very few people. And that's why I think the last, 1 month, if you would have seen me going around and trying to find people who are doing this and actually preaching what I'm doing, or more of sharing my own story. And I can say that there is a lot of resistance from people because when you challenge somebody's long drawn beliefs, it's obvious for people to feel insecure, because why is this person doing something, and then you come from a place where you were from education, and what are you doing with yourself? And you did, your master's, and you were into education all the time. And so what is this that you're doing? But I think, if you would have asked me maybe 3-4 months before, I wouldn't have been so, confident in what I say. But now, now I know what I'm doing. So there is, I'm not unsure at all of what I'm doing. I love this journey. And so it's very easy for me to share what I'm doing. Also, at a point, I think you stop asking permission, or you stop, you stop convincing people. I don't think so. I make any effort to convince people. I actually know what I'm doing and what is this journey. I'm not scared at all. And I know that, at least I know that, from my knowledge, that, I can be one of the best mentors for Adi. I can go any length to find what he really loves and find the right people and connect him with those, and he convinces me that what he is doing is, he loves to do what he the way he learns, what he learns. But the society here, they are in a shock of, what are you doing? But like I say, when you're very confident in what you're doing, people slowly stop questioning you, because they know that you know what you're doing. And I think after a point of time, you start reflecting that aura of, trust me, I know. there are questions. People with friends and other people, they ask me, they want to know about me and what we are doing. I share everything openly, that this is what I'm doing. And once they see Adi, all that stigmas that people have had of, children don't socialize, they cannot talk in public, they cannot do house chores, or they cannot learn. I think he challenged all these things beautifully, because all these places that I went, I did something, I asked these people to write their observation about Adi. And it was amazing. All the observation that people wrote about him, just told me that, he was cracking it. He was talking to people. He can mix vertically with any age group. It's not just horizontal school. It's all horizontal conversations with people, same age group. And even the school makes it, your age group such that you should be born between this month to this month, and they are put in the same class. So it restricts you to have conversation with older people or, younger people. And Adi can do that beautifully. And I'm sure many of the unschooling kids can do this. And, you are on the road, you're talking to people while, we are live schooling, basically. We take public transports, we talk to neighbors, we talk to strangers, we ask help, we understand people, we try to develop compassion if somebody is in trouble, we discuss, we talk. I don't think so parents and children get enough time to talk to each other in the first place, because they are hardwired with the kind of routines they have. But for us, it's different, we are talking all the time. We are discussing politics. We are discussing cricket. We are just like, it's we are in the real world, I would say. We talk about money, we talk about expenses, we talk about, it's not, in schools it's different. You have a list of stationaries to provide and you bend everything, you bend the universe to get things to your child. And that's what my parents did. They did for me, right? I just used to give them a list of things that I needed because I thought that they are educating me. It's their problem. It's not my problem. You know, that was the kind of attitude I had. I hated to learn. And so I would put that pressure on them. I would say, my, I don't have these things. And, you know, it's your problem. You get it for me. So I had a very bad attitude towards learning. And I thought I was doing a favor. And learning was not joy for me. I was just doing. But I think Adi is different in that manner. He loves what he learns. And that's why I always say raising happy learners is possible, you know. They have to be, they should enjoy the process. Why should we wait for 12 years to find what they are passionate about? You know, they can find their passion any day, any time. And so society is what it is. It has been always like that. Whenever you don't conform to what is already laid out, you're always, you know, looked at with a different lens or, you know, there are so many stigmas in India already. And I'm adding just another one by saying that, you know, education is a problem in India, right? Not many children have education, access to a decent education here. And I'm coming here and saying that I want to unschool. So it's like, what? But yeah, but now it's picking up. Homeschooling is a thing here in India. Many mothers are doing it, especially now that people are remote working as well. And people have started, you know, they have figured out how to work from home. So many, many mothers, there are many Facebook groups, homeschooling Facebook groups. Everything, everyone has their own agendas and, you know, own way of doing it. So it's not that this concept, this exists in cities like Bangalore or Mumbai, Pune, maybe Chennai also. So you have these homeschooling groups. They are doing their own thing. They have started doing it. So I think cities, it's still a thing. It started the, you know, people have started looking at schools as a, you know, something they want to do it at home with kids. But it's more about, still people are worried about what curriculums to follow and how to learn this, how to create the materials. So I think there's a transition already happening, especially when the schools went remote. You know, when the schools went online, many parents realized what was actually happening in schools. Oh, my child was only doing this. Okay, the report card is like this. And there was a it was a shocker for many people. Oh, this is what my child has been learning us. So they wanted to take things in their hand. They started getting more involved with the kids because now they had to help kids. So they understood that, you know, they just have to memorize things or whatever. There were a lot of things that people started realizing, and many people just like they started realizing for jobs. Many of them shifted from 9 to 5 to their own way of freelancing. So I think the transition is happening in the education field as well, because the prices in private schools have gone very high. And unless both parents are working in good companies, getting really paid well, it's difficult to afford a very good private school in India, right? So the more you know education, the more you understand all this, that you know now what happens. So because I've been the other side and now this side, I know what happens. So I think that gives me more confidence in what I'm doing now.
True. Nice. Yeah. Tell me more about the adventurous journey you are on, because I saw a lot of, highlights from this journey on LinkedIn, and I really loved it because I've been traveling with my kid for quite some time, and we've been all over the world. And even before he was born, I was into traveling, of course. Now somehow I found the place to be, so we are not traveling at all anymore. But I know that kids are benefiting from traveling so much because, as you said, they are mixed with different kind of people, different ages, different whatever. And it's so nice because the younger they are and the less they are fluent in any kind of language that is internationally spoken, the more they have to rely on their gut feeling, on emotional expressions and these kind of things. So from my side, I would say traveling with your kid is one of the best things you could ever do for them, because it makes them so comfortable. It teaches them how this world is really working, because in school they don't learn that. it's impossible. They cannot take 30 kids on a road trip. And I think it's a nice bonding moment as well. As mom and son, I was always traveling alone with my kid, and I had the feeling like this deep bonding, it's not gonna go away, because who spent all these scary nights with me in the jungle? It was him. I would say traveling is the best thing ever. And tell me more about your travel plans and your experiences and what you've been learning and your bonding moments and everything.
Somewhere I have been that person who likes adventures and want to travel a lot, but somehow, you know, it didn't happen right before, because, you know, you're worried if you have a job, how will you work, and your child is in school, how this is going to work. And I realized that even Adi is someone who likes these adventures a lot, because he craves to be outside. He likes to be outside. He doesn't complain about, you know, I'm tired, I don't have this, or he's not that kind, that I realized in these travels in the last 28 days. So we went to Nagpur to meet some friends who had come down from US, and they have this company of their own, and we wanted to meet these people. And it just so happened that it was an impromptu plan to go there and meet them. And we were very happy. We were loving every bit of it, you know, meeting people after a long time, you know. And Adi was free. He was learning from them. They were older kids than him. He was catching up things very fast. He was gelling very well. And so we didn't want to stop. We thought, let's go to this another city now. And we contacted someone from Hyderabad, and he is a parent of unschoolers as well, and he travels India. He's a road schooler, and he takes people on trips. So I got in touch with him, and I knew all these people through LinkedIn anyways, because I was always in conversation with these people. And we were hosted by some strangers there. They were very nice to us. So we, you know, it was more like a gift culture, you know. Nobody expects anything from you, but they want to know your stories. And people were, they wanted to know what are we doing, right? So they wanted to know our story. And that is the reason we were hosted by friends. We were hosted by families. Yeah. And it just, it went on such that, you know, we had a very good time in Hyderabad, and then we decided let's go to Bangalore. And then I connected with a lot of people who are into self-learning, who are into homeschooling, and some, you know, I just kept writing to people that, hey, we are coming to Bangalore, why don't you, you know, meet us and this, that. And so some of them wanted to meet us. So we were there hosted by my childhood friend who I was meeting for after 7-8 years. And, you know, she was very kind to you know, let us be there and, you know, cook for us. And we went around traveling, meeting people in Bangalore. And, you know, some people had self-learning centers, some people had started some startup with kids. Many people did not turn up, but it just happened that we could see a lot in the city and what other people are doing, and that was exciting. Then we went to Chennai, and we met again one of my a friend who used to be my colleague in one of the school that I worked. And again, we were hosted. We didn't stay in hotels, or we didn't book any place. And I think that was the beauty, because, you know, you get to stay with different families, you learn their dynamics, you understand yourself better when you see different people. Adi was able to learn more about himself watching other people, and, you know, food and lifestyle and how different families operate. And, you know, how do you behave when you are amongst people? And, you know, you generally become a little conscious when you are there. And I saw that Adi was quite, you know, he was quite enjoying himself. He was himself in most of these places. He was getting along with my friends and other people very well. I can share with you the observations that people shared with me. Later, I also met some of the people that I had known before, who had helped me in different parts of my, you know, different points in my life. And I thought this is a great way to be grateful to people and say thank you, because we never turn back to say thank you. I think we just keep moving. Some of these cities I have lived in, and I had some friends who had helped me. But you know, we don't say, we just call or we just wish each other. So I made it, I wanted to stop and say thank you. I wanted to meet them. I wanted to meet their family, and I wanted to introduce Adi to them and say, hey, he's my son. Now he's 9. He's unschooling, and I wanted to see the reaction. And I wanted Adi to know that there are beautiful people in the world. I have made some amazing friends, you know, and he should believe in the power of friendship. He should believe in the power of kindness. I think in this journey, he saw a lot of kind people. Otherwise, you are boxed in the house and you don't know that people can be kind. In a family itself, you start having struggles with each other, and you start forecasting that you know everybody in the world is like this, but that's not so. Sometimes you might not be very comfortable with your family, but you get very comfortable with friends or somebody you've just met. And these are the things that I wanted Adi to experience, to open his perspective, you know, wider, and understand the world, see how people struggle in public spaces, see that there is a struggle in the world, and what are we craving for? We say we want to eat this, we want to buy this. And we are so stuck up with our own ideas of living and leading life. But there is so much more to life, you know. There's so much more than clothes we buy. There is so much than the food we really always want to eat. And we spend so much of our time thinking that I don't have this, I don't have that. But when you meet people, you know, there's an explosion to what you have always believed, and you are exposed to this world where people are existing in different forms. You know, they are going to, you know, people take public transports, people work the entire day to get food in the evenings. So these are the things that I wanted Adi to know, and it all happened that he could experience these things.
Yes, that is so cool. I really love that. Had you did you encounter any, I don't know, tricky situations while traveling alone with your kid? Because I've been to so many countries, and I must say the countries I hated the most for traveling was Europe, because people are so unfriendly. I need to say, in India I felt super comfortable. In Asia in general, I felt so comfortable, and alone with my kid always. I don't know, from your perspective,
I was always scared to travel alone in trains, because the kind of stories that I've always known, especially people really scare you. What are you really going to travel with your son and all alone, and you know, taking trains, and then is it safe? Is the bathroom clean? And many other things, your luggage, how will you be careful about those things? But I think it was a good, you know, time. It was a great time for me to just take this trip. And I think because Adi is older now, he's 9. He was quite confident, and he was like, Mom, we'll take care. It's fine. Let's go. And I said, okay, let's take the train, because, it had been long. I had taken train. The trains were late. So 28 hours became 36 hours in the 32 hours, something in the train. And we were getting friendly in the train compartment with everybody. People were talking to us. We were sharing things. And because it was a long journey now, there were a lot of conversations happening in the train. It was like a small family happening there. And I'm glad that everywhere we went, people help you no matter what. You know, we asked a lot of questions. Will this bus go to? We were very clear on taking public transport, not just booking cabs. So we would ask people how to go to this place, and where can I take a taxi? How can, you know, take a public bus? How can I take a metro? So all this we explored. Even in, you know, Bangalore has started this metro service, and Adi was very excited. He was doing everything on his own, taking the ticket, guiding me actually, and buying tickets, telling me how to punch the card or whatever. And then, you know, he was fascinated. He's this person who likes, you know, vehicles and stuff. So it was fascinating for him to be there and experience this, and, you know, just with me. And I didn't see him gloomy or, struggling at all. It for him it was adventure. For Adi, it has always been an adventure to meet people and try new things, try new food, being stuck in situations. I mean, there are times that you have low battery and you have to get out of a place, you can't book a cab, and those situations were there. And somehow we managed to get this cab and get out of that place. And it only became adventurous. Sometimes it was late and we were stuck and I was figuring out how will I go back. And because these are real life situations, how do you run from these situations in life? We did it when we were older, right? And we were actually in the situation, nobody to help us. And we struggled and we got out. But I think for Adi, it's an early exposure, walking for a long time. No battery in the phone, and we are figuring out how do we reach this place. And Adi was like, Ma, you become pro in asking help from people. I was like, immediately I'll ask help. Asking help is not a bad thing, right? But somehow we want to do everything ourselves, and we have stopped asking help. So I think those things were there now. We could just ask people where to go, how do I go? So I think all the perception that we have about traveling or being unsafe, you just have to be careful about, where you are. And maybe if you know people, just keep them informed and know your way well. Google Maps are there now. You can just navigate. That's what we would do before traveling. We would just see the route, how to get back, how to go there. So the planning helps a lot, I think. And we were always planning all the time. I'm going to go to this place. So is there, what are the possible ways to get there? Will I be able to be, come back on time? What if it is late? Who will I contact? So those things was always running in my mind. I also get little tensed up before traveling, and Adi knows that, and he says, Ma, you are going to travel, you're already getting tensed. You have to keep doing what you do, because this is the adventure is the part that you really love. So it's all part of it.
Yeah. Nice. That's cool.
We didn't have very tough situation anywhere, but I think preparing beforehand really helped. And sometimes, general issues were train being late and those things. So we tackled those problems. Yeah.
Nice. Thank you so much. What does a normal unschooling day look like in your family?
So, in the mornings, Adi wakes up around maybe 8 or 9. And we are not early risers, to be frank. Not till now. We really want to be early risers and experience how it is. And then he plans his day. So he's into projects. So he works on a lot of cardboard projects. He wants to create steering wheel or something. Today he's been working on a steering wheel since the morning. He wants to create his own steering wheel and keep the phone there and play. So he has been busy. Then he also joins, there's a group, a team that he works with in the evenings. So children come together. That's called the Beakpul group. They work together and they share their projects. We also go online in a global podcast every evening where we talk about parenting and unschooling. So that is something that we do. And if I'm cooking, he helps me cooking, being in the kitchen. He takes care of himself mostly. I don't have to iron his clothes or something like that. Mostly he has a lot of work. If he wants, he presses his own clothes. He finds his own way, what he needs to wear. He basically decides all these things by himself. If he doesn't like what is cooked, he goes and he makes his own breakfast or something like that. So because his it's more like an adult would do, spend his day. So it's similar to for him. He figures out his day. Sometimes he works on coding projects and he creates things when he has more time, or mostly it's a self-led sort of a thing where he decides. And we always discuss. Sometimes I ask him, what is your day going to be today? What are you going to do? If I see that he's spending a lot of time on something, I ask him, would you like to do something else? And if he wants to switches or not. evening he takes his cycle. Our roads are not that fine, but still he really wants to take his cycle, so he just goes and comes back. The roads are pretty bad here, and so this is how our day mostly looks like.
Nice. Cool. What are your favorite resources? Because I always encounter that problem. I mean, Adi probably speaks English. My son doesn't. He speaks Spanish and German. And mm-hmm. the like educational resources that are on top interesting online for him is just not existent. We have been through so many learning platforms. Mm-hmm. I'm constantly researching for new materials, for new courses, for new that, for new this. Mm-hmm. But all I find that is really interesting is in English, and he's not really good in it. He's now learning it step by step. But he's far away from being able to attend any kind of online class in English. And I mean, there is stuff online in Espanol and in German, but it's just not what he's searching for. And so I don't know. How are you doing it? What resources are you using, or maybe not at all?
Yeah, see, Adi was going to this online school in India till last year. But it was, again, in the traditional model, it was 3 hours per day. And I saw him being bored. He didn't like to sit and being lectured, because even if there were some experiments now and then, because when you have to handle a lot of kids, there is, you know, children don't enjoy it much because they are watching the screen and trying to do something. And there's Khan Academy for maths. I don't run after Adi, but I tell him that, you know, he should keep on level with the math skills that he needs, because if at all he would like to take an exam in the future, he will need maths. So I tell him that, you know, you should be constantly at least have an idea of, you should know your maths calculations and all that. So we have these discussions. Writing and reading, Adi picked up quite well in the early years. So he reads books, you know, books that he likes. He finished all those series of Famous Five and all that. So he books, because we introduced ourselves to books quite early in life. So he reads. He has these projects. He likes coding. So, you know, there's Scratch by MIT. So he goes there, he learns coding. And I think coding, that Scratch is available in all different languages as well. The language that you want, so you can change the language and you can learn that. I'm not sure if Khan Academy is available in different languages. Maybe you can check.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, it is. So that's great. Then Khan Academy has a lot of things if somebody wants to learn. Then for languages, we go to Duolingo most of the time. He was doing French. And then Hindi, you know, we talk Hindi at home. So Hindi, he learned Hindi only when I came to my mom's house. Before, he was only speaking in English. He learned it faster because everyone here was speaking in Hindi, so it was not difficult for him. Now, I also tell him to write so that he knows how to read and write. And he understands the importance now, because when we traveled all the, you know, in every station, and you have the, you know, the places, names and stuff in Hindi. So he realized he needs to know Hindi to be here. It's easier. Or some of the forms and stuff are in Hindi. So he realized that he should know Hindi. He can speak very well. I tell him to read and write as well. So these are a couple of the resources that I mentioned. And when it comes to other things, in TED-Ed, you have a lot of things for curious kids, you know. Okay, TED-Ed has amazing videos on whatever you want to go and learn. We also turn to books a lot. So he wanted to learn about human body and stuff. So you have Adam Kay's books where he talks about the human body in a very interesting way. So Adi would go and read. So he has these phases where, you know, sometimes he would get into books a lot, and then sometimes he would get into coding a lot. Sometimes he just wants to do cycling, and I can understand how he wants to switch to these different things and learn, you know. Now that we have found a team, you know, he works with a group of kids who are all self-learners. And I can share with you the links, and also that you can discover what's happening there. So this is the week we'll, I keep talking about it. So we found them, and you know, it's a startup by two young girls, and they started their own, they started sharing with kids. It's like a kid-led learning, learning website or app where they help other kids, self-learners basically, who are in a level. So Adi joins them, so he has somebody to talk to as well. Now it's not just that, because it is very hard for unschooling kids to find someone who, you know, resonate with them, because every unschooling kid is very, very different. And I'm sure you will agree, they have their own, scan code. It's very difficult to, they are very unique in their nature. They like very different things because of the freedom they have, right? So to find people of same interest with the same kind of beliefs and way of working is different. And so when you do find someone like that, it really helps you to, you know, keep doing what you're doing. So there were times when we were all by ourselves, where we had just each other to talk to, but we just kept doing it. It doesn't scare us anymore, that, you know, and it doesn't scare me at all that, you know, Adi's not talking or gelling with same age groups. It doesn't scare me. It doesn't matter. I know it doesn't matter. It's just that we have created this. That, you know, in school, people tell me, but in school, he will meet a lot of kids of his same age. So what? I mean, I know many kids who are of same age, and I'm sorry to say that the kind of conversations and things they discuss is horrible. And I would never put, risk that just because he has to have conversation with the same age group. So we were in our aunt's place once, like 1.5 years back. And I thought, okay, let him go out and play, because they're all same age group kids. And the things that were happening were horrible. You know, these kids were talking something. He had learned some horrible language from these kids. They were talking, rubbish things. They were sharing some videos with him that he came and told me later. And I was shocked. I mean, this is the reason you want kids to gel with the same age group kids. You don't know everyone. It's difficult. Not that I'm saying we can protect kids and keep them cocooned and not let them mix. But I think it's important for parents to know what kind of people they're hanging out with. So I'm happy if Adi has only virtual friends. But I would not put that pressure of, you know, putting him to a place where he doesn't feel safe, or if the environment is not good. It doesn't matter more. What matters is that he should have the right kind of people to talk to share. Even if those are just adults, it's fine. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I had the same experience, because, yeah, same age group, and some kids are just informed differently about our world than my kid. And then he's coming back home with a lot of crazy stuff. And then I had to sort out, and I had to explain a lot, and he wasn't even ready for it. And he really had a hard time understanding this part of the world, because it was with a lot of violence and this and that and that. And yeah, I think we cannot protect them from everything, but what we can do is choose who they spend time with, because not everyone on this planet is a great influence on our kids. And we have the choice, because we chose unschooling, and this gives me the opportunity to really have a look into with whom is he spending time with. Is this human being like a safe human being for him? And I think having less exposure to kids, I mean, of course he has friends, he's seeing kids, everything, but he's less exposed to a lot of kids than traditional schooled kids, means to me less stress, because I know his friends, like they live with us basically, you know what I mean, they are over all the time, so I definitely know them by heart since years, and we've been on holidays with them, and they stay overnight a lot of times, and I can just be very sure that the parents and the kids are following the same vision as me in life and that are not sharing any disturbing material with their kids, so that their kids are sharing this disturbing material with my kid, and I have to clean up behind that and have my kid in this kind of mess. Because I think this is what is happening in school sometimes. Then one kid has a mobile phone, the other kid has a stupid idea, and then there goes, then and on and on and on. I hate that. And I'm very happy, and I think I can call myself lucky as well, to not be exposed to that kind of problem, because this is just unnecessary. And I think it's unnatural as well, because normally we would be so much closer with our kids, like you and me are right now, and we would see a lot of stuff they are engaging with. But giving them away and co-parenting with the state means give them away for 6 to 8 hours, maybe more, and not being able to really see what they are influenced by, just seeing the result. And I don't really like that. I think this is a nice point why unschooling is a nice thing, because from what I've seen with all the woke shit going on out there, especially in Germany, my kid is not attending school in Germany for sure not, because I think this is a bad influence on them. I don't need my child to see some super sexualized drag show in the morning first thing, instead of engaging with nature, with friends, with books, and any kind of that. So I see there's so much temptation out there that is not even necessary for us to thrive and to grow. Good thing that we leave it out, really. Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, so tell me a bit more about your perspective, because I always struggle a bit with telling too much about myself, showing too much about my lifestyle, my kid. So I try to just, and a couple of days ago my kid told me, like, yeah, I want to be a YouTube star. I was like, no, don't do it, please don't do it. I don't want your face in the internet. So of course he's 10, he's not having this YouTube career tomorrow. But he's way more open-minded than me. But what I've seen is, if there's an online class, any online class, and he needs to turn on his camera, he's out. He's like, nobody's gonna watch me, I hate it. So you're quite open and you share a lot, and it's not like, you do it very beautifully. You are very, very, I think, aware of what you're sharing and how you're sharing your part of your story. And I love that. And when I started with that podcast, I was very sure to never tell anything about me, to never post anything about my son or anything like that. And now I see there are so many families out there way more comfortable with that than me. And one of my closest friends, she's doing movies with her kids and everything, so she's all into it, like, yeah, everyone in front of the camera. And I'm still struggling with that. But I see you're doing it in a very nice way. It's very, very beautiful to see. And is that easy for you? How's the feedback? Yeah, you're welcome. How's the feedback? How's the reaction? And how do you feel about that? Because it's very personal, I think. And for me, it is super, 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 super cool to see that, because I feel like I'm part of your story. And I really fell in love with you and your story because of all these insights you present. But how does it feel from your side? Is it tricky?
Something about me, I'll tell you, I have always been the storyteller. And, you know, I have always loved telling stories from my childhood. If you talk to my childhood friends, they'll tell you what kind of storyteller I used to be. I would just create some stories and tell them, and I'll just make people happy and, you know, make them smile. And I used to share a lot all the time. And I think that was the part I had stopped doing for a while. And then, you know, you just start when I started about education, I was kind of hiding myself. I was not sharing much because I don't know what people will think. But she's an optometrist. She did this and that. And wow, what is she doing in education? I wanted to hide that part of me. But, you know, when I started writing about it, first, it was all over the place. You know, I didn't want myself to be identified and stuff like that. But I started getting some appreciation from people that, you know, wow, this is a beautiful write-up and you're writing nicely. Thank God you're writing again. Keep writing. Some of my close friends, I would just share the blog with them. And they would say, hey, we want to read your content every week. Just keep sharing. And then I started putting some videos on Instagram, and people would tell me, oh, we love to watch you and Adi. And some of them, though they never appreciated me, like in comments or something, but when I met them, I realized that they were following my story, because they would talk about, you know, we watched that video where Adi and you were talking, and that's amazing. So I knew that people were watching, and somewhere it was helping people. So I started also getting some messages from, hey, we didn't know that this could be done like this. You have a very different approach and perspective, because in India, education is completely different set of thing, because it's not accessible to people. So it's a struggle to even get educated for most of the people. The fees are high in many government schools, and then you are doing a completely different thing. And then, you know, when you are doing something like this, you are, people might talk behind you. What is she even doing? You know, she's not working, or she's into education. She's always talking about her kid. But, you know, there will always be some set of people who talk like this. But at the same time, I was enjoying this journey so much that I wanted to talk about it. And then it just happened that when I started writing on LinkedIn, in the first couple of months, people wanted to talk to me. They wanted to interview me. And that time I was not writing so much. I had just started. And that helped me build my confidence, you know, that people were liking the stories that I was sharing about Adi and myself. And that is the reason I could connect with a lot of people, and that helped me forget about Indian you know, people connecting with me. There were so many people from different parts of the world who wanted to meet us and talk to us. And then I started making some consistent conscious efforts to meet people, you know, homeschoolers, unschoolers. I started writing to them, people who have started alternate learning, you know, schools or education systems. I would talk to them to understand what they are doing. And they would say, what are you doing about it? Like, are you in, you know, a business? Are you some? I said, no, I'm not making any money out of it. I want to convince myself that what I'm doing is right. So I meet people. And that helped me elevate that confidence. And now, you know, I don't shy away from sharing what we do. And the more we share, you know, it's like our own personal diary. The social media is like our own personal diary. I just keep writing things. You know, many mothers wrote to me after this travel that they wish they could do something like this. They could travel, and they have been following my journey. And that was the some hidden idea as well, because when I was starting this journey, I wanted to, you know, you're always searching, is there someone who has done the same thing? So I was searching for people, but I could not find someone who was doing this, right? So now that I'm writing and people tell me that, you know, wow, you know, it's like I feel a part of it, or, you know, it's like my story. And these are not people who will always be there writing for you, but I know that they exist, that somewhere they feel supportive. They might like to do something differently. And when people should not think that alternate ways of living and learning do not exist. Alternate ways of living and learning and loving exists. There is no traditional way to do things all the time. We didn't know it existed before, but that doesn't mean it's not there. People are, amazing things are happening in India that we are not aware of. So you have a Swaraj University in Udaipur in India. I don't know if many people know that, where it's headed by Manish Jain. He's a co-founder there. And, you know, if people can just go and learn there what they want, you know, it works on a gift culture, basically, where you give what you have and you take what you want. And you know, it was inbuilt in the culture of India to help people, to help our guests. And where have all these things gone now? Why are we not, if you look at how our parents took care of guests, like my mom has always been very good at taking care of guests. You know, other family members would get irritated, you know, why is this person staying for so long? But my mom would never get tired of taking care of guests. She would do her duties because she believed that guests are God. So there is a saying in Hindi which goes like Atithi Devo Bhava, which means if you have a guest, he's the most important person, right? And you take care of them. So I think this was beautiful, you know, but we have lost all this. Now when you know that somebody is coming, you're like, I'm not available, I'm not in the town, you run away from this. So we are all very busy for what? You have lost human connection completely. You don't want to meet people. You don't want to call them. Now it's all limited to the text. And then suddenly we start craving. Why are so many people traveling now? Because they are tired of the life they are living, that rigid lifestyle. We want to escape, right? We are all trying to escape. We want to go and sit by a river and feel peaceful. But I think how many times will you be able to travel? You know, we can start finding this peace and, this sense of belongingness in yourself and help others to do that as well. We have so much of anger. People are fighting and so many things are happening. And we are setting wrong example for our kids. You know, we have to show them that kindness is there. People can help each other. I think most of the things that we learn is free. You know, I have paid so much in the schools, like, you know, that we had hardly anything to spend for ourselves. And we just kept paying school fee, heavy school fees in India. You know, the public government schools, you don't know what's happening. So, you know, people generally run after private schools. Private schools are heavily priced. You know, it's like a dream for people to get into those hi-fi schools, and the culture is very advanced. If you come from a low income group and you go to a very hi-fi private school, your child is suffering because the standard of kids there is different. They are rich. They have birthday very, you know, exclusive birthday parties where your kid goes and feels low, and all this is so common. You know, children want to fit in those. They want to have a social media group they want to be on. They want to have an iPhone, and kids are suffering in school. That's why you have depression. You know, you want to be like someone. You want to be like that popular girl, or you want to be like that popular boy, and all this goes in a stress. It's very stressed. I know kids who would tell me that they go home and they just close the door because they don't want to see their parents. So I think it's tough for parents, it's tough for kids. And I think if you are aware, if you know that there is a better way to do something, I think we should do it. Or I think someone would like to escape from that life and build a life which is more purposeful. You know, it has, you are happy. You don't have to pull your child out of your bed in the morning and scream and shout and pack them into the school bus, and then they are angry with you the entire day. I don't think so. I want you to do that at all. Thank God I came out of that.
Nice. Yeah, thank you so much, really. We are almost at the end of this episode. And I learned a lot from you, and I'm really looking forward to see how everything is going forward, moving forward in your life, what kind of adventures you are tackling next, and everything related to your unschooling story. Thank you so much for being my guest.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm honored, and I'm glad that we met. I think we will always, it's like a support system that we are building, I guess, for each other.
True.
And it tells you that there are people available in different parts of the world, and I'm sure we'll cross our paths one day. And I would love to meet you child as well, because we are very few, so we should be a family wherever we are, right? So where are you now?
Jetzt ist die Klemens sauber, weil sie nicht auf dem Computer sitzen kann. Klemens, du bist auf dem Computer. Mit dir rede ich nicht. Der kommt mir ein paar. No, no, Klemens, bitte.